Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, as the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable, as the body coils now to the top of the swing. There's a slight hesitation, a nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy here with you on this Saturday morning. I'd like to say hello to our producer, Tom Tucker Silva. Good morning, Tucker.
Oh, good morning.
And good morning to that new voice that you heard on the Sports Hub. Brendan, it's not Glasheen, it's Glasheen.
That is right, Hardy. Good morning.
Good morning. It reminds me of... I'm going to date myself already. First thing on the show, I'm going to date myself by referencing the movie Biloxi Blues. But it's a great Christopher Walken line when he's talking about, oh, we don't have bathrooms in the Army. We have latrines. Latrines. And that's how I'm going to remember how to pronounce it. It's Glasheen. You put the emphasis on the first syllable. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Brendan?
Yes, and when I grew up, when I was in high school, my high school history teacher actually called me the cleaning product because my last name sounds like a cleaning product.
All right. That's another way to remember it. Yep. Yeah. Zoe will not make fun of that name at all. Hmm. All right, good. All right, off to a good start so far. So a few days ago, I was in Las Vegas, and I got a chance to play golf out there. So on the show today, you will hear my conversation that I had with the gentleman who is now the executive director of golf at Wynn Golf Club, as in Wynn Encore, right there on the strip in Las Vegas. His name is Brian Hawthorne. Brian is like the Forrest Gump of golf. Brian has bopped around to a couple of different places. He was there at Wynn as the director of golf. I think he was like Steve Wynn's like personal teacher there for a while. And he left Wynn at some point, joined a company that was doing golf simulators, like, you know, really high-end personal golf simulators for people's homes, businesses. Think like, you know, Ray Bourque puts a simulator in his home. This is the type that he would buy, right? But I think that company got sold to Topgolf. And Brian, who's a guy I knew from years ago when I did one of these specials on Las Vegas golf, and I was out there and I spoke with him and several other people. He was, you know, perfectly happy working for this new company, which was kind of under the umbrella of Topgolf now, when at some point the Wynn Golf Club reopened. I'm going to let Brian tell the whole story about the Wynn Golf Club. I will just say, I'll give you like the 30-second rundown. It's on the old Desert Inn property for people who are really old and used to go out to Vegas when the Desert Inn still existed. And the DI had a classic golf course there. There are a handful of, like, you know, quote-unquote classics in Las Vegas when it comes to golf courses. One of them is the Las Vegas Country Club. The other one was the DI. It was a high-end golf course. Obviously, that went away when the Desert Inn kind of got, not kind of, when it did get imploded. And they built Wynn and Encore, but they still wanted to have a golf course on the Strip. There's only one other golf course on the Strip. And I'll tell you about that here in a moment, too. But it was difficult to get, I think, a lot of people to play it. I think, and Brian will mention in my conversation with him here in a few minutes, that It was never intended to be there forever. It was kind of like a placeholder until they decided what else they were going to do on that huge piece of property in between the Wynn and the Encore. And they did build a convention space, and there were rumors for years it was going to be this huge water park is the wrong word for it, but they were going to build this giant beach water thing. You know, imagine, like, of all the great pools in Las Vegas, this was going to be the most high-end, ridiculously over-the-top pool and outdoor water type of experience you could have. And at the end of the day, they decided, wait a second, we've already got a golf course here. We built this convention center. All we have to do is a little rerouting and a little redesign, and we can still have the golf course. And it is such – I only played it once. It was not in existence when or only in existence for a short time, I guess, when I lived in Las Vegas and didn't get a chance to play it. So when I went back after I moved to Boston many years ago, I had a chance to play it. What an amazing experience, not only of high-end golf, but of convenience. To be able to stay in that hotel and walk out of your elevator lobby and walk onto the golf course and the amenities that they have there and the course itself. I'll let Brian tell you all about it as the course now gets ready to reopen. They were closed for some time. They're going to reopen here soon. I'll let Brian tell you when in my conversation with him coming up in a few minutes. I did want to point out that I only played one other course while I was out there, and it was 110 degrees both times. Actually, I played two courses. Obviously, I didn't play Wynn. They're not open. They're not reopened again yet. I played the Muni course in Las Vegas, which is a course I played a ton when I lived there. It's called Las Vegas Golf Club. It is a municipal course. People laugh when I tell them my friends who still live in Las Vegas that I went and played the Muni while I was there. There are guys who have lived there for 20 plus years who have never played the Muni, because why would you? I did it as a nostalgia trip because I used to play it a lot, and I love Muni golf. I grew up playing Muni golf. You know, George Wright here in Hyde Park is maybe my favorite golf course in the entire region, just because of the number of times I have played it, just everything that it represents. So I like Muni golf. I went over to the Las Vegas Golf Club and walked the first nine early in the morning, got done around 11, maybe 10:30 in the morning when it was over 100 degrees. So I think I'll grab a card for the back nine. And the guys I was playing with, a couple of firefighters who live there in Las Vegas, they're like, yeah, dude, don't kill yourself, literally. They didn't want to have to work to try and revive me. So I hopped in a cart. When we got off the course, it was 109. But it was great. I mean, I would recommend that to anyone who grew up playing a specific golf course, especially, you know, like an inexpensive one or one that is not considered to be among the best of the best. If you played one of those courses either growing up or just a long time ago and haven't played it recently, it's a great experience to go back and play it again, because A, chances are you'll remember every single hole and every single shot as I did at this Muni course in Vegas. You remember every hole, and you remember, you know, what you used to do on that hole in terms of club selection and all that. But what is amazing to me is that the club selection has changed over the years. Now, obviously, I am a guy now in my late 40s as opposed to a guy who was in my late 20s when I was playing it the first time and early 30s. But has my game gotten a ton better? No. Has the equipment gotten better? Oh, yeah. And some of these holes where I used to think, oh, yeah, I remember this hole. This is, you know, like a driver 7-iron into the green. No, it may not even be driver anymore, because you can't keep it in the fairway depending on where the bend is. And it for damn sure ain't a 7-iron coming in. It's more like a 9 or a full wedge. The equipment changes. I have never been on greater display than they were when I went back and played this course that I played a ton. I mean a ton back in late 90s, early 2000s. Haven't set foot on it maybe once since then, but I went back, like I said, less than a week ago, and it was amazing. The difference in club selection and how you get around the golf course. And just, you know, it's been another almost 20 years of golf under my belt. I'm not necessarily better, but I think I'm a bit wiser. And the way you approach things on a course that you played a lot before, go back and play it again is my only suggestion to you. It's fun just to see how different you'll treat it in your own mind. The other course I played when I was in Las Vegas, and I recommend this to anyone, and this is another course that was open when I lived there, and I never played it. I never played it when I lived there because I deemed it too much of a luxury, and it was on the Strip, and I thought it was silly to go pay that kind of money for it, is Bally High. Bally High is just south of Mandalay Bay on Las Vegas Boulevard, and like I said, I didn't play it while I was there. I think the rounds used to cost upwards of $150, $200, and maybe peak season, they still do. This is not peak season for Las Vegas golf. This is the cheap season right now. If you can bear the heat, you can get out there and play Bally High, 18 in a cart, for $89. They'll throw in lunch for $10 more. So for less than a $100 bill, you'll have 18 holes with a cart and lunch. Beautiful clubhouse, a really fun layout that gives you views of the Strip. Depending on what the landing pattern is at McCarran that day, you might get some really good look at some airplanes coming in and taking off. But a really, really good golf course. I'm amazed that they're able to do it for that rate. But like a lot of other places, you know, Las Vegas struggles for attention and for golfers, especially during their off months. And when we walked off the course at Bally High, when we played it last week, we teed off at 9 a.m., got off the course around 1 p.m. It was 110 degrees. But I got to tell you, it was more comfortable than when I came back here on one of those 95-degree days in Boston in humidity. It's a dry heat. It is a dry heat. It was 110 degrees. We got off the golf course, and for our drinks after the round, we sat outside. I know, but we in the shade, yes, in the shade, but 100% comfortable to sit outside when it was 110 in Vegas with no humidity after getting off the golf course, as opposed to being around here on one of those days last weekend when it was 95 and humid. So I recommend Bally High. I also recommend utilizing their rental clubs, because I saw them stacked up outside, brand new Callaways. I don't know, 20 sets of Callaways. I'm talking Rogue Irons, you know, Epic Drivers, all that stuff, just sitting there waiting for you to partake. So that would be my suggestion, my two suggestions to you. Go back and play a course you haven't played in a long time. And if you are in Las Vegas, take advantage of Bally High there on the Strip. There's so many other courses I wish I had time to play while I was out there. I love playing Paiute. That's up north of the city. There's a very fun course that we did years ago on this show when we went and did like the full-blown interview and tour of a course called Royal Links, which replicates different holes in the British Open rotation. That course is a lot of fun. There are a lot to get to. There are a couple if you are accustomed to playing golf in Las Vegas that may not be there anymore. Badlands, no longer there. There are a couple other courses that have just gone away, either due to development or lack of play. But my favorites among them, the Muni and Bally High and Paiute, still there, still operating, and all good, still good choices. All right, so as I mentioned, Wynn Golf Club there in Las Vegas, reopening. Going to talk with Brian Hawthorne, the executive director of Wynn Golf, coming up. He'll tell us the story of what almost happened and what will be happening there. Also, Steve Schau from Travis Matthew, he'll be joining us later here on the show. So stay with us, and we'll talk with Brian Hawthorne coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club and back at a place that I didn't know if I was going to be able to visit again, but here I am visiting with Brian Hawthorne, who was the director of golf at Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas. Now he is back as the executive director of golf at Wynn. Brian, it's good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks, Hardy. It's great to be here.
I have to say that I didn't know that we would be able to have this conversation again. You and I first spoke, I think it was about 5 years ago, and right before I went out and played Wynn, the golf course. And we had a great time and a great conversation. And then some really strange things happened over the next few years. Can you kind of give us a brief history of what's been going on since then?
Sure. When the property was first built, it was never intended to be a long-term golf operation. And, you know, we were fortunate it was 12 and a half years. And in late 2017, it closed for future development. And, you know, we had some changes around the corporation and a new CEO and a new vantage point, on the use of this space. And we've brought it back as a golf course. So we do have an addition of a wonderful new convention space that's over 400,000 square feet. But it also is sitting where our 18th tee and 17th green were previously. So we were challenged with basically redesigning a golf course and sharing the space with our partners in the meetings and convention side of our business.
So when you decided to bring the golf course back, this isn't a simple question of, well, let's find a guy here in town who can help us reroute a couple of holes, because that's not the way things are done around here. So who did you work with in order to kind of redesign and reroute things?
Well, we were really fortunate. You know, Tom Fazio did the golf course originally back in 2003, which opened in 2005. And when Matt Maddox, our CEO, started to reevaluate this situation, we reached back out to the Fazio team, and Tom was thrilled at the idea of coming back and working on it. So we worked very closely with Tom Fazio on this and looked at every single hole and every single opportunity to create basically an entire new experience.
Well, I feel like I've buried the lead already, but with sitting here with Brian Hawthorne, who is the executive director of the golf course here at Wynn, it is safe to say the golf course is, in fact, coming back and relatively soon.
It is. We actively started taking reservations on July 13th for guests with a confirmed hotel reservation. They can book 90 days in advance, and we are reopening on Friday, October 11th.
That's it. That's the date we've all been waiting for.
That's it.
Friday, October 11th?
It's real, Hardy. It's real.
You sound a little nervous, like Friday, October 11th isn't that far off.
Not nervous. Just know that there's still a good amount of things to achieve between now and then. But, you know, we're on great pace. The golf course is in a grow-in phase now. Construction is completed. We're assembling staff. We're fine-tuning some of the amenities of the property. And I'd probably say it's not nervous. It's more excitement than anything else.
Well, let's take this in three steps then, three stages. You mentioned amenities. So if you're staying at Encore or Wynn, the first thing you need to know about this golf course is that it is literally a few steps away from your hotel room elevators.
It is. Yeah, that's certainly an advantage of having an on-property golf course, which we are the only ones in town that have that. Your commute is really determined by how many times the elevator stops. You're 275 paces from our Tower Suites elevator to the golf shop.
And I remember from playing here before, once you walk in, it's this beautiful lobby, and you've got people essentially just falling all over themselves. What do you need today, Mr. Poole? What's going on? Are you ready to go out? Do you want to go into the locker room first? Do you need anything for your round? So can we expect kind of like that same level of attention when you guys reopen?
Certainly. You know, as you probably are aware with our properties, you know, we've been fortunate to gather quite a few stars in our Forbes ratings, and we've truly got a 5-star standard across property, whether it's in our dining outlets or any of our other amenities, and we want to continue that to deploy that type of service when it gets to the golf operations. So we've got an incredibly skilled group of individuals that will be our caddy staff, whether it's our locker room attendants, our golf shop staff. It's a real theme of anticipating needs and just providing an amazing, experience for our guests.
I remember last time I did bring my clubs, but somebody asked me, if you didn't bring your clubs, we have pretty decent clubs here that you can rent. What do you got? Some stuff from like Played Against Sports that you just kind of cobble together in the back room and throw on the back of a card if somebody didn't bring their clubs?
Yeah, I think you probably know better than that. we've got a wonderful relationship with Callaway Golf, and we, I'm going to correct your language there. You use the term rent, and you know we don't charge for it. We call them loaners because, you know, once you pay our prevailing guest fee, it you don't want to have an experience of added cost. So if you need clubs, it's just included, and. Based on history, nearly 40% of our guests used our clubs, whether it's a matter of convenience or, in all likelihood, what we have here for loaners are probably better than what they have in their own bag because it is the most recent offering from Callaway, and we switch it out annually.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, you mentioned caddies. People expect to pay a caddy fee even when you're riding in carts and you have a four caddy with you. When I played here, he was a former head professional, a very prestigious golf course here in town that was actually working here instead because of the environment and because of what you had to offer here. So caddy fees, is that part of the equation here?
No caddy fee. You're going to get a truly professional caddy experience. We assign one caddy per starting reservation. It is a golf cart program, so it's not a walk and carry, but these individuals are going to handle all the necessary evils of playing golf, you know, fixing divots, repairing ball marks, but they're great at helping with strategy. They can be, you know, psychologists, social workers, stand-up comedians, a little bit of all those elements. We recognize that it's such an important role for these folks as employees here at our property. They spend more time with a guest when caddying on the golf course than really any other person across the whole property, whether it's a casino host or a dealer, a butler in our villas. The caddy has got the most touch time with a guest, and we recognize that, and we certainly take that into consideration with the type of people that we are looking for to fill these roles. And as you mentioned, there is going to be a likelihood of a significant number of them that are PGA professionals or past, you know, leadership members in hospitality environments.
I will give you some advice right now. When they give you a read on one of these greens, listen to them because they're never wrong. And I'll say this. You're absolutely right in terms of the experience with that guy that you're going to spend 4 or 5 hours with. And don't be put off by the fact that he's not going to be carrying your clubs. You don't want to walk when you play golf in Las Vegas anyway. Even if someone else is carrying your clubs. Look, 20 years ago when I lived here, walking 9 at the Angel Park Cloud 9, that's something different. But, you know, walking an 18-hole facility, you don't want to do. You want to have a guy with you who's going to be with you and, you know, hopping on the back of the carts or, you know, trotting along the side. And take advantage of what he knows about the golf course, because these guys know as much as you do or the designer when it comes to going out there and actually playing the thing.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, it can be dramatic, the difference that the caddy brings to an experience, especially in the way that we deploy it here. And you know, it's probably a good 5-shot savings when you have someone helping you with its strategy or, as Artie mentions, reading greens. Rule number one, listen to your caddy.
Right. Okay, so we've covered the amenities. I think it's safe to say it's going to be the same as it was before, only better, is what it sounded like. And if I'm leaving something out, please let me know, Brian. But onto the golf course, which was a really, really good golf course before. I got a chance to see just a couple of them when you and I walked outside. So far, just the redesign on number 1 and on 18, I can say, yeah, it's the same golf course, but it's better.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, we went with a vision of truly, you know, better than before. And while it was a great operation and a great layout, we had opportunity to make adjustments to things that we felt may have had some room for improvement or opportunity. But, you know, with the addition of the new convention space, we were forced to kind of rethink some areas, too. And with doing that, right out of the gate, our first hole now faces north instead of east. It's a dogleg right instead of left. 4 of the first 5 holes are totally different experiences. The fifth hole is a totally new golf hole. It did not exist before. As you get further into the layout, the holes more on the east side of the course, while they're in similar corridors, every green complex was redesigned. Every tee box was redesigned. We grew the greens by, on average, 300 square feet per hole. We've got an entirely new strain of bent grass that we're using here called Dominator that is new to the market, and it's specifically designed for the unique microclimate of Southern Nevada. And, you know, we're really excited about its performance so far in the grow-in phase, and we just can't wait to get guests out on it.
All right. So Brian Hawthorne is the executive director of golf here at Wynn in Las Vegas. I got to talk to you about number 18 because you and I were just outside looking at it. You guys are doing something, dare I say, bold, Brian, with the newly redesigned 18th hole here at Wynn. You tell them. I tell you what, man, I love it, but it takes some guts to do what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, it just felt right as we kept reworking the new design with Tom Fazio and his team. And, you know, to save any more delay, number 18 is just an incredible par 3. We have a 35-foot tall, 100-foot wide waterfall that frames the back of the green. We've got four different tee boxes ranging in distance from 140 yards all the way back to 250 yards. It really creates some incredible theater for that last swing on your round of golf on Las Vegas Boulevard with, you know, the 4,700-plus rooms from Wynn and Encore looking out over you. It's truly spectacular.
It's so Vegas to have just this. And you said it outside. It's so Vegas to have this amazing, like, can you imagine being all square in your match, standing on 18T? You're a good player. I'm not. But let's say I was. I'm playing with a couple of other guys, and we're all the way back. And with the match all square, you are faced on your final hole with a 250-yard tee shot on a par 3 with trouble down the left, the big waterfall behind you, everything on the line for that match on that final hole.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Would probably be an understatement, right? But, you know, but it's still very well thought out as well. While it's, you know, it is pretty spectacular in each one of those elements.
But it's not goofy golf.
No, it's not. And that's the point. And, you know, Tom put a lot of time and energy into this, and we really, you know, we redid and redid and redid and moved tee boxes and moved bunkers and changed the shape and contour of the green to make sure it matched with the rest of the layout. But it's spectacular. It really is.
Well, the final thing I want to touch on here is, you know, in the third phase is just, like, I guess, the whole experience of being able to play golf on a golf course that is literally attached to the hotel, whether it's Wynn or Encore. I'm staying at Encore, and it's a 5-minute walk down here from, you know, from my room elevators. You guys are afforded the opportunity to make this part of the whole guest experience, and not just with the caddies and what you might think of the place afterward, but you can tie in a lot of what other people are doing. Like, at another golf course, they may not care when your dinner reservations are, but here you understand it, and you have the opportunity to kind of work with people when it comes to planning not just their 4 hours on the golf course, but their entire stay.
Yeah, and you know, it's an amazing team of people that make this hospitality machine happen day in and day out. And you know, there's 13,000 of us here. So to your point, if you're on the golf course and whether the group got started late and there's an impending dinner reservation and the caddy gets wind of that, he's the first one to be able to make a quick phone call to whether it's that respective restaurant or to restaurant show reservations or to the concierge to help remedy what could have been problematic if you were somewhere else, or if it's, you know, overhearing that it's somebody's special occasion they're celebrating, and to be able to help coordinate that next experience for the guest and be able to do all this under the confines of the same property. It's unheard of, quite honestly.
Well, I'm kind of kicking myself for planning this trip a couple of months before you open, but looking on the bright side, now I have an excuse to come back and say 3 more months.
Well, you know, we'd love to have you back, and I think it's a foregone conclusion that you need to come back. So we would love to have you to come and experience, you know, the new and improved Wynn Golf Club, and again, just thrilled to be here. You know, it's a wonderful parcel of land that's been part of the golf landscape in Las Vegas since 1952, you know, it's a great golf story, it's a great Las Vegas story, and you know, I'm just honored to be part of it.
Well, I'm honored to sit here and talk with you again. Brian Hawthorne, the executive director of Wynn Golf Club, opening once again in October. For anyone who asks me from here on out, oh, Hardy, you got a chance to see it before it opened. Is it like it was before? All I'm going to tell them is, well, from what I can see, it's better. It's better than before, which is tough to imagine that you could improve upon what you had here. But so far, that's what it looks like you're doing, Brian. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. And normally when I would speak with Steve, it looks like show, but it rhymes. Actually, what does your name look like? Your last name looks like what?
Looks like show, said like show.
Yeah.
It's not too hard to figure out.
No, we got to come up with something catchier. Anyway, last time, and every time I've spoken with Steve, we've either been inside a golf store or in the studio. Today we thought, why not do it on the golf course? So here we are, and we're talking about Travis Mathew, because Steve Shaw has been with Travis Mathew now for a few years. And I got to say, congratulations, Steve, because Travis Mathew has pretty much taken over.
Yeah, we're hot right now, blowing up on the East Coast, and it's a great time to be a part of this brand.
Well, first of all, for people who don't know, Travis Mathew, it's the M logo with the very, very subtle T kind of worked into the M. See a lot of people wearing it either on shirts or on hats, but it's a golf slash lifestyle brand. That's what you guys have gone for.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that we are a lifestyle brand, but we are rooted in golf. That's where we started. But we don't just cater to golfers. I think there's a lot of guys that are really attracted to the brand.
Now, having said that, there are a couple of golfers on tour wearing Travis Mathew right now. A couple of guys who have won recently.
Yeah, Max Homa, and most recently a guy named Patrick Cantlay, if you didn't watch the Memorial. So Jack's tournament, pretty big deal.
Yeah, I believe he shot a 64 in the final round, 19 under. So that was a good tournament for him. Okay, so there are golfers wearing it. But the thing that you and I have always talked about with this brand is that you can wear it to the office and then go straight to the golf course. And you don't look like you're sneaking out early to go play golf.
It's a beautiful thing. And then right after the round, you untuck it and you go out to dinner and with the wife and family and you look fine.
Tucky, no tucky.
Love that.
So, one of my favorite shirts that I have from Travis Mathew has been described as a Burger King shirt. You corrected that person, said it's more like a McDonald's coloring. I love that shirt, but it's kind of almost like a California retro look. Do you have anything like that this year?
Actually, yeah. One of the themes for our catalogs for 2019 is redefining classics. So we're bringing back some of our traditional looks, but we're updating them with new fabrications and new colors.
The shirts are fantastic. They don't fit too snug. They're not too baggy. They're essentially what a 40-something-year-old guy, I think, wants to wear these days. You know, we're not trying to dress like Rory McIlroy, but we're not quite ready to dress like Fred Couples either.
I think it's important to know that we don't want it to look like a golf uniform. It's lifestyle brand, and we want you guys going out and looking great.
Now, one thing that I've seen a lot of are these hats with the patches on them with the outline of the state of Massachusetts on them. Is that just for Massachusetts? Are you doing them for everywhere?
Yeah, what's great about that hat is it's not just a golf hat. It looks great in any setting. People in sports arenas, I see it everywhere. It's not just Massachusetts hat. It actually started out as a California hat. Right after that, Texas and Colorado came along. They reintroduced some other states, and it really took off here, and you may see some more stuff like this down the road from us.
Okay, now, it's not just the hats. You guys have also done shorts. My favorite pair of golf shorts happen to be a Travis Mathew brand golf short.
Our Beck short in particular is absolutely on fire right now. It's actually the number one selling short in all of Nordstrom's, which is a pretty bold statement considering we're only in about half of their stores. This fabrication is awesome. It's available in a lot of different colors. You could actually go swimming in these things if you wanted to. I actually spilled water on myself driving today in the same material pant, and they dried right up in 15 minutes. I walked into an account and didn't look like I wet myself, which is always a bonus.
When you're trying to present yourself in a professional manner. Yeah, it's better to not have a huge urine-looking stain on the front of your shorts or pants.
Yeah, you want to make a good impression, and that just wouldn't quite cut it.
All right. You guys doing any tournaments, any championships? What is this now?
You're going to see a lot of exposure with us with the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship. We really feel like these guys, these celebrities, these athletes are really attracted to the brand. They wear our brand really well, and you'll actually see our first national commercial air during that tournament.
Is there any custom stuff that you guys do? Because I know this is a big deal now for a lot of brands where you can customize your own, you know, you still want
you know, the Chuck Taylor Converse high tops, but you want to be able to customize them. Does Travis Matthew do any customizing?
Absolutely. Actually, the hat I'm wearing right now, which you'll tweet out a picture later, Nashua Country Club. This is a custom patch we did for them. So I'm doing these at a lot of clubs around the area, but this is also something any corporation can do with their company. We take our Triple L patch and we do a custom design logo in the middle of the patch.
I tell you what, I will tweet out a picture of that, and we'll do a selfie right here on the golf course. As long as you give me one of those state patch hats, I'll put that on, and then you can pimp your Nashua Country Club hat. I mean, that sounds like a fair exchange.
I like that idea. I think you should check your golf bag. I might have snuck something in there for
you. Oh, nice. Okay, well, as you can probably guess, we're on the golf course from the wind and the sound of the mowers in the background, and now that we've fallen a full hole and a half out of position, we should probably get back to it. But Steve, I want to thank you once again for all the recommendations and info on Travis Matthew. People want to know more. Your website is pretty legit.
Yeah, definitely go on travismatthew.com. It really showcases the product well, all the things that we do.
And have you recovered from blowing out your ACL in that stupid bubble soccer tournament at your first big corporate meeting that you attended as a relatively new employee a couple years back?
Well, I still have a limp, but I'm pounding it 30, 40 yards past you, so I think I'm all right.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club. A very odd story here to kind of bring to a close. Well, you know, let's do them in reverse order. We'll do the really odd one. We'll save that for a moment from now. I have to say, this happened down in Hartford. A 17-year-old by the name of Jake Bieber Frankel. This is unbelievable. He shot a 10-under par 60 on Wednesday, I think. With a 65 on Thursday, he won the Boys Junior PGA Championship. He broke the 54-hole mark. Jake Bieber Frankel shot a 60 at this course down in Hartford at the I'll find it here. I would say the more interesting thing about him is that his father is actually, they call him an Academy Award-winning director. He won an Academy Award for the best live-action short film for something that came out like 25 years ago. But his dad directed The Devil Wears Prada and Marley and Me and a really cool movie that I like called The Big Year with Jack Black and Martin Short. It's about bird watchers, kind of Owen Wilson's in it too. It's kind of a semi-true story. So this kid, whose father is a successful movie director, apparently is also an amazing golfer. So congratulations to Jake Bieber Frankel. Shot a 60 en route to his Boys Junior PGA Championship. Good God. That's unbelievable. All right, the other story that is not so much fun involves a golfer who, if you follow the majors especially, and if you do any kind of fantasy golf, you probably know the name, or you would recognize if you saw it in print, Torbjørn, Torbjørn, Torbjørn Olsen. He was arrested last week. And again, I'm not laughing at this at all, because and certainly because we don't know everything that happened, but for assault on a woman who was sleeping on an airplane and also urinating in the aisle on the flight. It's absolutely bizarre. So this is how it went down. This is according to multiple reports now. The Torbjørn, who is a European tour player, all right, he's 29 years old. He's from Denmark. And again, he's won 5 times on the European Tour. He's had some good finishes in majors. He just tied for ninth. He tied for ninth at the Open a few years ago. But he's had top 10 at the Masters. He's one of these guys you see like kind of sniffing at the first page of the leaderboard from time to time. 29 years old. He's from Denmark. He gets on a flight and loses his mind. It sounds drug-related. It sounds like, you know, one of these Ambien stories or something. He had just played in the St. Jude in Memphis, right? So he gets on the flight going to London from Memphis last week. He, like, assaults this woman while she was sleeping in first class. Then he got in an argument with other passengers. Ian Poulter, who was on the same flight, tries to, like, get him to calm down. Like, dude, you're drunk, you're high, or something, whatever. Poulter then goes to sleep and then misses the real fun, where apparently he starts getting really abusive to flight attendants, other passengers, gets up, urinates in the middle of the aisle in first class, and is arrested as soon as they touch down. Which begs the question, do you ever take anything when you're going to try and sleep on an airplane? I don't. This seems like something that Ryan Johnston might have thoughts on. I don't know if he's in the studio yet. But the reports say that Olson was verbally abusive to the cabin crew as they attempted to defuse the situation. Shocking. The police were waiting for him when the plane landed, arrested him, took him in for questioning. Arrested on suspicion of sexual assault. Again, not funny at all. Being drunk on board an aircraft, failing to comply with the orders of the crew cabin. He was then released while they investigate further. I don't know what to say other than you got to be careful when you're taking stuff to go to sleep on an airplane. Because like I said, Ian Poulter was on this flight. And he actually knew about some of this stuff that was going down. And he tried to get him to calm down and apparently thought he had succeeded in calming down this Torbjorn Olsen cat. And so Poulter goes to sleep, and then things just ramped up to a new level. So I guess we'll kind of like pay attention to what happens to Torbjorn. It's so strange. We're a 29-year-old who just finished a golf tournament to get on board a flight, and he's flying back to London. He says, the guy's from Denmark, for crying out loud. If you saw a picture of him, you might recognize him. He does not look like the guy who would just lose his mind for no reason out over the Atlantic. But apparently, that's what happened. All right. Johnston and Flynn, are you guys lurking about? Are you ready to go? Are they here? I don't know if they're here yet. All right.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, buddy.
You? All right, good.
How you doing?
You take anything to sleep on an airplane, Mike?
No, I can't sleep on an airplane. I would think... some of it has to do with my size, you know, unless it's first class, which I've flown first class, but generally, like, either it's me and the wife or the kids, like, I'm not ponying up everybody for first class. So the space is a big issue. The second part of it, I'm just very uncomfortable flying, and I don't think I'd feel comfortable falling asleep surrounded by 100 strangers.
Well, so for your size, I think first class would make sense. But for normal size human people, like you said, the rest of your family and your 19 kids, no. I mean, you would have to, you know, take out a second mortgage.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know, get first class for everybody. Yeah. So do you fly in regular seats when you fly, Mike, sometimes?
Yeah, because I can't, it just depends. If I'm solo, I'll try to get, an exit row or something. But
good grief.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't travel. I don't have the desire to travel like I used to. We're going to get into it. We'll probably talk a little air travel today. I don't know why we're on the same page, you and I. But there was a time when I was a young kid. I didn't fly a lot as a kid. It was like one trip every 8 years to like Disney World. And there was this, go to the airport and it's like you eat in the food court. You go on the plane. It was exciting. Now I dread it. So I don't fly much. I prefer to sit in the car and drive.
All right. Well, I don't blame you for a man of your size. And I don't blame anybody for not wanting to sleep on an airplane anymore because you think you're safe. It's like, I'm just going to take a half a little something here, a little night-night pill. Next thing you know, you're being arrested when you land. And I'm not saying that Torbjorn is, completely absolved here because I don't know what happened. But this sounds like a guy who flat out lost his mind. You know,
my favorite part of the story is that Ian Poulter is apparently the calm one. Because that guy's a douche. Like, if he's the good guy in the situation, there's a problem.
You know what? And he's good for golf because he's fun to watch. But I root against that guy at every opportunity. I do. I don't know how people look at him. It's like, oh, I like Ian Poulter. I'm glad that he won. No. You remember what a D-bag he was during the last Ryder Cup? The last two Ryder Cups? He's awful. He's insufferable. All right. So you guys are going to be talking about airplanes, and I'm guessing maybe a little Red Sox.
Airplanes, hotels, and little.
You never know. You never know.
Baseball season is over, so we'll put that to rest today.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, thank you to Tom Tucker Silva, producing here for us this morning, and that's it. Oh, and Brendan Glasheen. Welcome to Brendan Glasheen, who is doing headlines here this morning. We'll get 90 seconds from him. No commercials. Johnston and Flynn coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.